Thank you for joining us, everybody. You're tuned in to the Jam Frequency Radio Show. This is John DeMaria.
And Desi Dez. Each episode here at the Jam Frequency Radio Show, the artists will take us to a new frequency of musical energy, the full spectrum, from up-and-coming artists as well as living legends.
We get to know their stories on how they create music and what makes them unique as artists.
The Jam Frequency Radio Show.
Where words and music kaleidoscope.
Our Jam Frequency episode is off the chain this week, John. We are going to be dancing and grooving and feeling good.
Feeling good, no doubt. I'm thinking we just get things started.
I need some music right away.
How about a little Potbelly?
Potbelly Pig?
That's the name of this song. Mestizo Beat is our honored guest today. Cannot wait.
We're going to get right into it. Little Potbelly.
We'll be right back.
week here on Jam Frequency Radio Show, we have the pleasure of speaking with up-and-coming artists as well as living legends. We get to know their stories on how they create music and what makes them unique as artists.
Today we have the pleasure of speaking with Lito Magaña, guitarist, songwriter, and arranger for Mestizo Beat. Awesome. Mestizo Beat is an Afro-Latin soul ensemble based out of Los Angeles, California. They're an instrumental group that blend the sounds of early 70s funk and soul, Latin jazz, Afrobeat, psychedelic rock, and hip-hop. The group is highly inspired by artists such as War, James Brown, and the JBs, Mongo Santa Maria, Fela Kuti, Parliament Funkadelic, and The Meters. The band's music carries a certain sense of nostalgia, using their creativity to fuse the old with the new, constantly paying homage to the greats who came before them.
Yes, very good stuff. Mestizo Beat was formed in late 2016 in Topanga Canyon by the Magaña brothers, Lito and Gus Magaña. The band's name is influenced by their Salvadorian roots and their aspiration to provide music that will set fire to the dance floors. I think they definitely do that one, John.
For sure. Not a question.
Yes. Both working musicians in the LA area and music scene there, they wanted to combine their efforts to create compositions and inspired from some of their favorite artists that would focus on elements of tight rhythms, horns, my favorite, and instrumental arrangements.
Yeah, no doubt. The band is built around the core four, led by Lito and Gus on the drums, backed by Pedro Flores percussion and Jose Castro on the bass. They're all just ridiculous. What is unique about Mestizo Beat's sound is the musicians surrounding the four players. Aside from the core members, the lineup often fluctuates, inviting different horn players, keyboardists, and guest singers to jam to create with them.
It's a great group for sure. Mestizo Beat, their legacy is to share their appreciation for this music with the world, to spread the message of unity and equality while embracing the beauty of diversity and cultural differences by living, loving, and dancing with one another in peace and harmony. I love it.
So good. Lito, thanks for joining us again today, my friend.
Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to come back.
We appreciate you. Thank you, Lito. We definitely are excited. You guys have a new album that just came out this past August called Canoga Madness. Before that, we're going to go with a little backstory on Lito. What exactly got you into music?
Well, I remember probably around when I was 11, I was wanting to play guitar. Before my parents bought me one, they rented me one. So I started at a young age. I think when I was 13 or 14, I met a buddy who showed me the whole aspect of recording your own music and buying a digital 8-track, and that kind of opened my mind to songwriting and playing punk rock music and then watching it mature throughout time. It's kind of a long journey of trial and error. What I really dug and, what made me happy. Then around my late teens, early 20s, I discovered the Meters, and that really just kind of changed my whole preference in music. I kind of opened up this rabbit hole of just early 70s funk music, and that kind of tied in really with all these other kinds of music, Afro-Cuban music and Afro-beat, and then just all the funk in the South and New Orleans. But really when I heard the Meters, it really opened my eyes and taste in a certain kind of music, but always really just being just obsessing on it and always wanting to practice and get better and hang out with other musicians, I looked up to and was impressed with. Yeah, I was just trying to improve, really. Having a fun time.
Absolutely, and you're so good. I mean, really, and you can hear some of those elements. I don't know if I hear the punk element, but I do. When we watch you perform, you do have a little bit of that.
I'm
bringing this. So maybe there's a little bit of that from the punk, but really just embedded in that soul, Afro beat, Cuban. I mean, just all of those elements, funk, the Meters are really a perfect way of summarizing where you've extended the genre into a new place, and it really is magical. Now, did you go to school Oh, you're welcome, for sure. Did you go to school for music?
So I went 2 months through training, a bunch of classes, reading and all that, but I didn't last too long. But I'll say one thing I really got going to school, what I learned was the music theory and the e-training made the language more sense, and it helped me kind of navigate through systems of music. And I just needed the basic principles. A lot of my way of improving was just listening to just my favorite records and guitar players I really like and just putting a lot of time and effort trying to figure out what they were doing. A lot of it was self-taught, just listening to records all day, over and over with my guitar, until I got every note right. So not much schooling, but I will give, you know, those few classes on a couple topics really did contribute a lot to the journey.
School of yourself, right? Practicing, yeah, and learning and growing and just going into what you feel is right for you. Did you have maybe a mentor or somebody that maybe gave you some great advice?
There was definitely musicians, especially in my community, some characters that I would get together and have a little side project, and definitely learning a lot from people who were just at the time a lot better and had a lot more knowledge and came from a background of musicians, definitely some friends. And then also when I started doing it professionally and getting paid, I would go into projects where I would really learn a lot going on the road with them or working on rehearsal, learning just a lot. Just knowing what I like and knowing what I wanted to sound like, mm-hmm, and then really paying attention to their advice, just identifying that's what I want to sound like. That's worth listening to this guy. You know, I think there's a lot of people, a lot of talented musicians out there, but I think it's important to know your preference. What do you want to sound like? What path do you want to go? What style do you want to represent? I felt like I gravitated to people who I wanted to sound like and really respected their advice.
Knowing where you want to go, I think, is really great, yeah, advice, because it's like, you know, you could say, I want to climb up the hill, but if you have a flag at the top that you can aim towards, then you can plan your steps towards that flag and that goal much better. So what great advice. Is there one particular piece of advice that you've been given that resonates greater than others?
Yeah, just never get too comfortable with where you're at. Always, you know, be humble and strive for better. Never think you've got it. It all figured out with music. It just never ends. Even, you know, guys who are playing their whole life, who to me are some of the greatest musicians I've ever seen. It's a never-ending journey. You can never be the best at it. Just always keep that in mind. Always know there's something to work on and to improve on.
I love it. I think that's one of the best things. I like to say, be a life learner, right? Don't just be satisfied where you're at. Always strive for more. So exactly. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So let's talk about the new album, right? Canoga Madness. We know that this was a labor of love with Mestizo Beat. You guys have been working on this for a little while. How did it all come together?
Yeah. We recorded this record in our home studio in Panama City, California. With the gear we were using, it was like a hybrid of analog and digital. We recorded most of the track onto tape, some of the overdubs digital, and it was a great time. You know, everyone made their effort to get together and really polish the songs and create a playlist, which we thought would be awesome to release as a record. This is our first record. We've always wanted to finally get one out. We had an EP in 2017, a couple single bands, so to finally have a nice full-length record with the artwork, mm-hmm, with the label, it felt really, felt accomplished, and we were just happy to finally make it happen. You know, a lot of the some music, so it's all original music on the record. I don't think we're doing many cover songs. Mostly instrumental. We have one vocal track with Karen Eckhue. He plays with Orgone, Monophonics. He's a great musician. He also has his own project coming out called Under the Moon. He's actually someone I grew up with in Topanga, and it's great music with my whole life. I learned a lot from. He did his wonderful vocal tracks. Yeah, and the music's just kind of all over the chart with influences. There's Latin funk, there's elements of James Brown, there's Afrobeat, there's got some spaghetti western, just everything we love, just try to mash into one playlist. We're really happy with how it came out and the response and everything.
For sure. It sounds like the right pieces came together for you guys, and it just was supposed, yes, to be. I like it.
Yeah.
But what's really exciting, too, is you just released this in August, and you did have a couple of songs released before. In fact, we were excited when we were able to world premiere Lizard Brain in that discussion that we had, you know, last year. So it has been a labor of love, and you're consistently doing things right. I noticed on Spotify that, you know, Canoga Madness, the title track, has already got like 43,000 views or listens on Spotify. So kudos for that. How does that work? You're a relatively new band. You guys are obviously great and talented and deserve all of this recognition. But how do you get like 43,000 views in just a month or two?
Tell you for that, it's funny because I think the other audience is a small number, but to us, it was a big number. First starting out, being upcoming. So with that, when you submit or your label submits your music up on Spotify under your profile account, you get these playlists out there that I guess randomly selected your music if they like it or not. And so we got a couple songs from that record on the instrumental funk playlist. It's got artists we love on it, like for instance, Orgone, we're huge Orgone fans, and a bunch of other great artists too. And so we just got picked up. I'm not really sure who's picking these or how it works, but we did, and that gives a lot of spotlight on your music. You know, you're up and coming, you don't have just kind of starting out in the game. So that was great. That's fantastic. I think that's the goal, to get you to Spotify or its playlist.
Can you give us the background as to why Canoga Madness?
One of my favorite places in LA, Canoga Park. They've got great pubs, great dive bars, great food, all kind of cool stores. And they would always have these car shows with lowriders. And it's an awesome community, Latino community, and even more than that, I've always loved Canoga Park. When we were writing the tune, you know, it really reminded us of kind of a war, lowrider vibe. And I just started kind of thinking about Canoga Park, wanted to make it, you know, kind of a feeling, attach a name with it. And also was thinking of Cool and the Gang song, Summer Madness, and kind of joined the two, Canoga Madness. It's just a part of LA we love, kind of just giving a shout out. With the song and the record.
Nicely done.
Awesome.
Right.
Yeah, perfect.
Hello, this is Lito Magana of the CJB. You're listening to Jam Frequency Radio, and here's our song, Canoga Madness, off our record, Canoga Madness. Enjoy.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Jam Frequency Radio Show. We just had the privilege of listening to Canoga Madness from Mestizo Beat. And Lito, I do have to say, has that been played on the radio yet?
It's doing great, and we're really happy with our label, California Soul Music, and what they've done. You know, how they've gotten it out there. It's getting play in Canada. It's getting play in Brazil. We're really just impressed with the label doing that. Feels good, you know, just to have your friends call you, being like, oh, we're listening to your music on the radio station. But yeah, it's been getting some radio play.
Excited to hear that, especially in different countries. How awesome. Congratulations to you guys. That's exciting.
You guys,
rightfully so. It's overdue.
Yeah, rightfully so. Well, you know, you earn your stripes, right? And you chip away at it, and you guys have been doing that, and it comes
our
through.
Our small mountain town isn't enough, that's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
No, we love Mammoth, June Lake. We hope we're always going to be coming back there. It's too many good times.
Obviously, you're very talented. Your arrangements are ridiculous. Your playing is ridiculous. Being able to assemble the members and have interweaving players and all of that really is great leadership from you, Lito, in a big way. But share with our listeners, what is your creative process like?
Well, I think for that record, a lot of the arrangements were done or initiated by me, but I couldn't have done it without the help of the group and the other guys, especially my brother Gus, who plays drums on the record. They'd come in with these ideas, but they would really build off the other guys. So I really think it was an equal part on everyone. It usually just starts with the rhythm section, me, Jose, Pedro, and Gus working out grooves, you know, writing different sections, and trying to leave some space for all the other elements, like the horns and the other overdubs. And kind of start with the rhythm section, and we bring our horn players at the time, Gabe Martin and Sam Morgan, to write melodies. Some of these horn melodies I think I even wrote. It was just a great effort on everyone's part, and just being with the right guys who all listened to the same kind of music, and it was easy to trust their direction and just develop into something we were all pretty satisfied with.
A great labor of love,
and
a lot of passion.
And now that's even changing a little bit, too. Now more and more, it's really not, you know, just me initiating ideas. During this whole pandemic, all we've had is going in our studio and writing more.
Okay.
Now it's a lot of the other guys producing and me kind of just hanging on the sidelines and letting them run the show. My brother Gus is a great producer and songwriter, too. And we've got some new arrangements from him coming out. Same with Pedro. We've got some different horn players were collaborating. Great, brilliant minds. Great. One of them is this guy, Jesse Adello. He plays with a group called the Surefire Soul Ensemble. They're pretty popular in San Diego. I actually play in that group as well. But we were collaborating with him, and he's got a whole element he brings to the table. So it's starting to become more of a everyone is really just producing, and everybody's also being really just supportive and positive. And we all kind of trust that we're on the same page as far as what we want as a finished product.
Great. Sounds like the creative spark definitely has got everybody and you're all working together nicely. So bravo. Yeah. That's a lot of fun. During the pandemic, have you guys changed your practice? And I know you just finished the album and all of that sort of thing. Are you more than once a week practicing, or what's your practice schedule looking like as a whole?
We definitely get together at least once a week, and we're doing a lot of writing. Sometimes me and my brother Gus get together more. Everyone is kind of in just a different situation, obviously, for everyone in the globe. I mean, a lot of guys in the group were making money off music, and now that market's kind of closed, it's different forms of hustles that everyone's kind of busy and attended to. So it's just keeping a balance of adapting to a new hustle and also making time to keep the brand alive. But yes, we're getting together once a week, and at least once a week, if not more. And really, we are still fully motivated and passionate to keep this thing going and keep writing and doing whatever we can do until, you know, the normal comes back.
Right. Given the times we're playing live music in clubs has changed and virtual concerts being the new norm, and you've played some really great virtual performances such as the June Lake Jam Fest, which we were honored to be part of, and the Bridge Family coming on October 26th, so we can't wait to watch that. Do you have thoughts on the current state of how music is being presented?
I think now that people are at home more, they definitely want to hear more music and they want more new releases from bands. Mm-hmm. So I think there's that demand, definitely. You know, for me, the whole virtual concert thing is, especially at first, is very weird. I wasn't the biggest fan of it. It just
nothing beats the live performance and getting together with everyone. Right. But over time, I realized this is something I think everyone is, we're just going to have to do this for a while. And we decided that we want to do some virtual concerts at least once a month or every other month. It is what it is now, and we're going to jump on board. So you can expect more live performances from us, new material, old material, us covering songs from our favorite artists. So yeah, you can expect more virtual live streams from Mestizo B. And yeah.
Great. Yeah. I know there's a lot of people out there in the music industry that are scrambling and trying to put together nice places for you guys, you bands, to go to and be able to have the opportunity to put yourself out there. So it's really nice to see the Bridge Family Spin Cycle Presents, a lot of people that we all mutually know that are trying to do what they can do. DJE down that did June Lake Jam Fest, they're doing other virtual festivals. So it's really cool to see the community getting together to try and keep the music alive.
It's nothing but respect and love for people doing that. It's a lot of an investment on their time and, you know, risk. But with the whole industry shut down, like, we've got some of our venues that aren't going to be open when things go back to normal. It's people like that who want to put their time, their efforts, their finances in keeping it alive, which is going to, you know, make this industry survive, because things are going to be different. Venues will be closed down, and I just could only imagine it's going to be more limited. But yeah, I'm glad there's people out there just holding on and keeping it going.
And it goes back to how music makes everybody feel. I think that's one of the biggest reasons why a lot of people, even outside of the music industry, are trying to help, because we all know how much music does for us as a person, as a community, as a world. We just definitely need to have it out there. So looking forward to see how it all comes together.
Yeah.
Since the beginning of time, we've always had music. This is just weird because it really feels like it's been dismantled, the power of music. But it hasn't. You know, like I said, we're just adjusting and adapting to new times. But it's, yeah, it's interesting for everybody right now what's happening.
Yeah, we can look at this in a lot of different ways, of course. I just like when things get shaken up a little bit. I'm actually, you know, at first it was like, oh no. And now I'm like, you know, like you were saying earlier, now we get to write more. You know, we're in the studio, we're doing other things. So it's like, there's an excitement for me that just says, okay, now that everyone's kind of in the trenches a little bit and trying to sort things out, maybe something on the other side is even that much more magical. I don't know. It's going to be different, but I'm hoping, well,
that's a nice
we'll have
positive spin.
You're an optimist, John.
Yes.
I like that.
Yes. Well, and two, a lot of bands and artists are collaborating and meshing together that wouldn't normally do that because of all the time and different circumstances going on. So I think, yes, I'm with you, Mr. Optimist there. It's going to be good. Let's get back into the music. I want to hear another one.
I can't overemphasize, if someone's listening to this right now, you have to hear it all the way through. Every track on this is brilliant. The arrangements are so tight and the energy
Horns.
Is perfect. You're guitar playing. I mean, everyone, to all the guys in the band, if you're listening right now.
Yes, thank you, Mr.
Just kudos. I mean, and we know you guys personally, so I'm just, I don't know, I just can't say enough. But let's talk about...
Thank you, guys.
Dude, you're
I really appreciate that. Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right, so let's talk about El Camino de Caballo. It means way of the horseback, right? So what was the inspiration behind that song and maybe the actual choices in how you
And let's
wrote
hear
it.
Lito say the name of the song properly.
Yeah, Lito, can you say it properly?
Yeah, you almost had it, John. El Camino del Caballo translation, the way of the horseback. Yeah, it's so interesting. Being an instrumental band, like, there's no lyrics, and you kind of just go in the moment of what the song just means to you and the images it creates. You know, it's interesting. I remember when we were writing the tune, it really started with Gus and Pedro. You can hear the song open up with that drum break. I was just loving what they were doing and just instantly heard the horn lines and everything. It's one of those songs that came together so fast. It's probably my favorite song on the record, that one, and Oswaldo's Rebellion. Those two are my favorite. I don't even know what. I think just Pedro just came up with the name. I don't even really remember the story, but I like the feeling of it. I like the sound of it, and we went with it, the way of the horse. And yeah, that's how we got the name for that. It's just a feeling, just a image.
Riding on a horseback and having that song play. I can picture it for sure.
Hello, this is Lito Magana from Mestizo Beat. You are listening to Jam Frequency Radio, and this is our song El Camino del Caballo off our debut LP, Canoga Mamish. My girlfriend waiting in the cafe, right? But we're fine. You know, okay.
And thank you to the girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, seriously, thank you. What's her name?
Victoria.
Hi, Victoria. We'll give you a shout out on the radio. That way, you know, we thank you for being patient waiting at the coffee shop for Lito, who's a rock star.
That means something, I'm sure, to somebody.
She's great. She's supportive of everything. So we're good.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking to Lito Magana of Mestizo Beat. Obviously, so talented, and the music is just ridiculous. We always like to ask Lito some fun questions that, you know, might keep him on his toes, or I don't know. I guess we'll just have to see how you answer these, Lito. All right, so let's begin. What is the most useless talent that you have?
Oh, God. Oh, man. I don't know. I've never thought of anything I have so useless. It's a hard one. Yeah. I don't know.
Yes. Did we stump
him already, John? That was too soon.
Let me think about this. There's got to be something useless left.
You're just good at everything, Lito.
No, definitely not trying to say that.
No, I know.
He's a bad
know.
Driver. We'll I, go with your bad driver, Lito.
If it hits me later, I'll come back to it. No, definitely not good at anything. I mean, everything.
No, for sure.
Maybe this one's a little easier. What would you be doing right now if it wasn't for music?
Probably look for a better job. when I'm not playing music, I like to go hiking. I like to spend a lot of time outdoors. I like to go to the beach. You know, not so much activities, but really just being in, like, a, just kind of quiet places, calm places, more out in touch outside, which is hard to find in Los Angeles. And that's usually why I like to get away from Los Angeles, go up to where you guys are hanging out. It's gorgeous up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of my personality.
Maybe you could do yoga outside. I could see you as a yoga instructor.
Hey, that sounds great. Yeah, yeah. That doesn't sound bad.
Okay. You're hired. Come on up.
I was just thinking about what your answer there. And yeah, obviously where we live is great. And I do see that side of you just wanting to be in that place of calm. But were you like good at math? Would you have become an accountant? Because, I mean, doing what you do musically and arranging is obviously very technical, and organizing all of those pieces is very math-minded. Would you see yourself as maybe an accountant or, I don't know, somebody
well,
with that
know,
kind of thing or what?
When the band got with the booking agency and I became the tour manager for the group, I learned a lot from management and organization and accounting, too, you know, accounting for the band. It's impressive, but, you know, it's surprising. It's not just a party on the road. There is a profession, an organization, and management to it. I feel like being really successful and good at what you're doing. And I learned a lot from just tour managing the group. I could see myself doing some kind of management or organization, really good, just staying on time with things. You know, just that guy everyone doesn't want to hear and gets pissed off at. The guy who's kind of, you know, making sure things are flowing according to plan.
Yeah.
Gotta make sure all the moving parts are working the way they're supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what? It takes a lot. Can't overemphasize what you just said there, where you have the creative part of the brain that just says, okay, let's be free and let's have a good time and let's organize the music. But then to get people on the road and organizing their personalities, not to mention formulating the band, but then getting everybody to speak the same language where the vision is the same. It's a leadership skill for sure that is, you know,
definitely.
For the few.
Yeah, and it's always like a risk, and I think it's hard for you to tap into your creative brain and then all of a sudden be like extremely logistical and on point and have to, you know, worry about time and management. But for me, it came to a point, well, no one else is going to do it for me, and how bad do I want this? So I better figure out how I'm going to make this work.
Oh, most definitely. If you were stuck on a deserted island, what one album would you choose to listen to?
Ooh, man, I like that. Just one. Well, I'm going to go with the first one
that
comes to mind. Obviously, there's too many to choose from. It would probably be John Coltrane, The Love Supreme. And at that point, I think that album is just like a meditation. And if I was alone on an island, I would need a lot of meditation.
Yes,
yeah.
I like it.
Wow. I guess I'm just surprised because I know how influenced you are by, you know, a lot of those great bands, James Brown and War. All of those are just great vibe music. And John Coltrane is different than that. Of course, Love Supreme, I mean, he's basically reinvented the instrument in so many ways, John Coltrane. But that's a great choice, and we might have to play some for the episode.
I had, some other instincts, like, okay, Meters Rejuvenation or Santana Abraxas, you know, or Fela Kuti's Zombie, but... You know, I think something that's very meditative and deep and timeless is that artist and record. That seems like a record I want to sign up for with eternity and solidarity.
I like it. It's a good choice.
So good, yeah.
So our show is Jam Frequency, frequency being vibrations, how music makes you feel. If somebody was new to Mestizo Beat, didn't know anything about Mestizo Beat, if you had one song that you could share that would share your frequency, your vibration that you're trying to put out to the world, what one song would you choose for that person?
Well, I'm sure everyone in the band would have a different one, but for me personally, it would be El Camino del Caballo. I think that is one of our best and just well-written songs, and it just feels like a great original Latin funk composition, and it's got everything from flute solos, horn lines, psychedelic guitar line, drum breaks. It's just one of my favorite songs you ever wrote, and that would be probably the first track I'd show someone who was interested in the band and the band sound.
Perfect.
Beautiful. Is there anything else that maybe we haven't asked you that you'd like to share with your fans and our listeners?
I just want to keep people interested in the group. You know, follow us primarily on Instagram. We promote a lot on that social media platform. We're going to be having some new releases coming out throughout the year. some digital releases, some vinyl releases you'll be able to purchase. We're going to be doing lots of live streaming. So you can see concerts, you can buy records, you can listen to it. It's all coming, even in these, you know, in these times of the pandemic. We plan on releasing a lot as a band, so please follow us on Instagram or Facebook. Stay tuned with us. We have plenty to show you, plenty to offer.
Perfect. Yeah, we're excited. Sounds like you guys have a lot in the pipeline, so yippee! You guys are going to be on Bridge Family Presents doing a live stream, so Monday, October the 26th, our listeners can catch you guys.
Thanks for tuning in, and just with that, you know, to the listeners, it's going to be on October 26th. We'll be promoting on Instagram this week. The link is going to be the studio's facility's Facebook page, where they'll be broadcasting it, and we'll have all that information on Instagram. The studio is called Bridge Family, but like I said, all the information will be there on our Instagram. So just check the post and you can tune in with our live show.
Beautiful. We'll be checking it out for sure. Anyone who's listening to this right now, Lito is a great guy and just so cool. But the music, I mean, not even but, and the music is just something that you have to experience. Mm-hmm. Hopefully live we can get back into that environment, because you guys really are a fun band to watch and just a magical in a big way. And it's really a nice homage to the style of music that you've drawn to and then taking it to a new place, and just so good. But Lito, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate you as a friend and as a musician, both.
Yes, John, Dev, I had a great time talking with you guys today. Thank you for just supporting the band and reaching out. You know, there'll be plenty more interviews. I always enjoy talking with you guys. Thank you. You guys are great at what you do.
We appreciate you. Thank you, Lito. This episode, this music, Mestizo Beat, has me feeling really good. I think we need some more.
It's infectious, no doubt. And they're so talented, so tight. And Lito's such a great guy. Really, we've just had a lot of, I want to say fun, but I don't want to use the word fun because you like
the... It's more than fun.
More than fun. Yes, that's what we're going
to
go with.
Mestizo Beat is going to be playing virtually live for Bridge Family coming up Monday the 26th, starting at 6 p.m. at Facebook.
Yeah, you got to go to the Bridge Family on Facebook to find it, or you can go to Mestizo Beat's Facebook page as well.
Monday the 26th at 6 p.m., we get a live interaction with Mestizo Beat.
Let's go out with a bang. I don't know. Maybe a rebellion.
Horns.
Well, of course, we're going to have
more
horns. More horns. Of course, we got to satisfy Dez's soul for sure. This one's called Osvaldo's Rebellion. Starts off with the horns, just like you like, but this is going to bring us to like Argentina or El Salvador or something.
Rebellion.
Osvaldo's.
Let's do it.
Mestizo Beat's latest record, Canoga Madness.
Here is Osvaldo's Rebellion.
Thank you.
another great episode of the Jam Frequency Radio Show.
Thank you to the amazing artist that joined us this week, and we look forward to where next episode's Jam Frequency will take us.
See you next time for another episode of the Jam Frequency Radio Show,
where words and music kaleidoscope.